Good morning and happy Monday, everybody. Welcome back to the podcast. I'm excited for this week. I've got an episode in store for you that, ooh, I'm so excited about. You're going to love it. I'm interviewing a woman earning six figures a year decorating for Christmas. Yes, you heard that right. Christmas decor turned into a full-time six-figure business. You won't want to miss it. That's coming up this week on the show. Also, I've been reviewing our podcast analytics, and guess what? The most popular episode so far has been on team building. So this week we are going deeper into that area, starting with today, how to build a team that respects you, even if you're running a small business. Here's a quick reality check. Most small business owners didn't start out because they loved the idea of running a business. They started because they learned a trade or developed a craft or had a passion that people were willing to pay for. That's it. But one of the biggest stressors I see small business owners face isn't money, it isn't leads, and it isn't even collecting payments. It's people. I've seen business owners go to extreme lengths to avoid hiring, working as a one-person band for longer than is healthy just to avoid the stress of managing people. And I've seen others jump into hiring only to find managing employees is so draining they just want to quit. So today, we are going to look at the five key ways business owners sabotage their relationships with employees and what to do instead. Welcome to the Freedom Entrepreneur Podcast. My friends, I'm your host, Lindsay Sutherland, your partner in business growth and freedom living. If you're looking for a robust CRM that can help you streamline operations, contracts, client management, and communication, check out Biz in a Box Solutions. It is the all-in-one tool designed to simplify your business life. All right, here's the hard truth. Most business owners just expect employees to respect them. Yep, I said what I said. And why not? Because you're the one who took all the risks. You're the one who poured your blood, sweat, and tears into making this thing work, right? Surely they should have just appreciate that. Well, at first they do. They're grateful you picked them, maybe even a little starstruck. But if you don't take an active role in leading them, that gratitude fades quickly. And what comes next isn't always loyalty, it's entitlement. Respect has to be managed, and just like customer satisfaction comes down to managing expectations, the same is true for employee satisfaction. You must manage expectations continually, not just on day one. All right, let's go over mistake number one is the interview trap. And here's where it all starts. The interview. Let me tell you, I have seen this go sideways more times than I can count. Did you know that 33% of hiring managers make up their mind about a candidate in the first 5 minutes? Think about that, 5 minutes. That means you're not really interviewing anymore. You're just justifying the decision your gut already made. And what do most small business owners base that gut feeling on? Likeability. People are drawn to those who make them feel seen, heard, and understood. In fact, a common phrase that we used in the car business, and I'm sure it's used at other places as well, is interested is interesting. Here's the paradox. If you want others to find you interesting, so say I'm the salesperson, focus on showing interest in the other person. So I show interest in my client and their life, they're going to automatically feel like I like them. Even though I haven't said I like them, I'm literally just showing interest in their life. People buy from people they like, know, and trust. Here's what's happening in the interview process and why this is relating. Because oftentimes, the interviewer, when they come into an interview without preparation, they don't have a list of questions ready to ask, or they get uncomfortable. The number one mindset failure, I guess you could say, is just saying, well, I'm just a good judge of character, and we get to come in, we're just going to have a quick chat, and I'll know if they're the right fit. This is where you end up falling into this place of uncomfortability, and as a business owner or as a hiring manager, you start talking about yourself, your business, and sharing, it's like oversharing. What ends up happening is your subconscious, because that other person that you're interviewing is nodding and listening and looking interested in what you have to say, it programs your subconscious to say, oh, they like me. Therefore, you like them. Do you see where I'm coming from? So, this is a psychological reason why you don't want to come into an interview just going off of your gut and just saying, oh, well, we're just going to have a conversation and see where it goes. Here's what you want to do instead. Come into the interview with a list of questions and ask all of your interviewees the same list, more or less. Be intentional, be curious about them. Dig into their problem-solving ability, their work ethic, their values, and don't hire on the spot. Be sure to give it some time, really think about it, compare them to other people, and show them that you have options. Even if you don't, you can just say, you know, I've got other candidates I'm interviewing, or, you know, we're holding this space open for the next 30 days to see what kind of candidates we get. We'll be in touch. This tone sets you up in the interview as the boss, and it really can carry the entire relationship forward. If you come into the interview being a chatty Cathy and just trying to be a casual, friendly type of person, which I'm not saying not to be friendly, but do you understand the difference between like, we're just being friends here, we're just going to have a casual conversation versus this is a structured interview. I need to know that you're the right fit for my business. There's a different tone that comes with that, a tone of authority. And that's what you want to set from the very beginning. Because if you don't, that friendliness is just going to keep carrying on. At what point can you expect that your employee is going to suddenly have respect for you as the boss if you don't set that tone from the beginning? Okay, moving on to mistake number two, onboarding sloppiness. This is a huge one. It's one I see a lot. Business owners finally hire someone. The employee questions a policy or a process, right? The new employee is like, oh, excuse me, is it true we can't wear tank tops in the field? Or why do we have to do it this way? And the owner says, oh, don't worry about that. It's fine. It's fine for you. You can wear tank tops in the field. That's just something we had in the handbook. Guess what you just told them? Rules don't matter. Policies are negotiable. And that is the fastest way to chaos. Onboarding sets the tone for how employees respect your business. If you cut corners, they'll cut corners. If you're casual, they'll be casual. Instead, have a handbook. I know it sounds boring, but trust me, having one can save you so many headaches down the road. And make sure every employee signs a receipt of handbook acknowledgement. That one document has saved businesses from lawsuits, from wrongful termination claims, from messy disputes. Onboarding is about setting expectations clearly and consistently. Don't assume they'll just know how things work, and don't assume because you like them that everything will just flow. Spell it out. That's leadership. It's no different really than in client communication. You know, when you want to set the expectation, why do you have a contract with your new client? You have a contract because it sets the expectations both for you and for them, and it gives you guys a roadmap for where your relationship is going to go. Think of your handbook and your onboarding process in the same respect. This is a blueprint. This is a guideline for how your relationship is going to go henceforth. Okay, mistake number three, no accountability. Now let's talk about accountability. Yes, I know this is the one thing that you do so well, holding yourself accountable. You're probably your worst critic and your hardest, like, slave driver, right? Because you're a self-driven, high-achieving business owner. Here's what I see. Owners hire someone, breathe a sigh of relief, and then poof. We just assume that that employee is as high driving and self-motivated as you are. That's not going to be the case. And so what ends up happening is business as usual. You're in the field, you're just going through the motions every day. There's no reviews, no recalibration, no awareness of what the expectations are on either side. The problem here is employees come in with their own expectations. They may expect raises every 6 months. They might have assumed that they'll be promoted. They might think certain responsibilities are yours, not theirs. And when reality doesn't match their expectations, that's when resentment starts to build. Oh, I know, isn't it ironic? They would literally work for you, but they have expectations of what your roles and responsibilities are. And if you're not meeting their expectations, then they start to feel jaded. So instead, start with the job description. That goes back to the onboarding process that should be done in the very beginning, but make sure that it's clear and flexible. So one example is I always like to add a line that says, and anything your manager asks you to do within the scope of business. That way you've built in some flexibility, but you're also keeping boundaries. Employee clarity leads to employee satisfaction. When they know what their job is and the guidelines that they need to stay within, they feel confident and safe. And that's really, really important. And accountability, holding them accountable, really just says, hey, I'm keeping an eye on you and we're sticking to the guidelines that we've already set. Just letting you know, I've got eyes watching. So accountability isn't just about performance. It's really about resetting expectations over and over again. If you don't, employees will fill in the blanks with their own assumptions, and those assumptions usually don't serve you or them. Mistake number four, well, poor communication kind of piggybacks that accountability thing we were just talking about. But poor communication is one of the biggest respect killers, and it's mutual, by the way. This isn't just casually chatting in the car on the way to a job site or, breaking for lunch and having a talk about, spouses and what we did over the weekend. Those conversations are great for building rapport, but they don't replace formal communication. Formal communication is to sit down and have a professional setting, create a space for feedback. Yes, you're going to grade their performance in this space rather, and you're going to reset those expectations. Remember, back to the job description, here's what we have laid out. This is really what's important for you to, this is where you're doing great. This is where I could see some improvement. Have structured reviews. Also, I invite you to open up the opportunity for them to grade you. On occasion, it doesn't have to be every time, but it sounds scary, right? And you might even be thinking, well, wouldn't that undermine my authority? Actually, the opposite happens. When employees see that you're willing to self-evaluate, they respect you more. They feel safe being honest, and that builds more loyalty. Communication isn't about talking more, it's about creating trust through intentional dialogue. Does that make sense? So it's not just about, oh, well, I talk to them all the time. No, this is about creating a professional space where it's a safe place to bring up things. So, for example, on this note, I might invite the employee to also give us some feedback on any processes or systems or things that they see in the business that could do some improvement. Let them feel a part of the culture of the business. And this is a nice opportunity to do that. Does it mean that you're going to take everything they say and turn it into fact, no, at the end of the day, you run the business. But by letting them have a place to speak their mind and share their thoughts, you show them that you're interested in them. And that goes back to what I said at the beginning. Showing interest makes people feel like you like them. And it's a respect. You are showing them a modicum of respect by saying, hey, your thoughts matter to me. Your input about my business matters. Does it mean you're going to do everything they say? No, but you can always go back and say, hey, listen, I really wanted to say how much I appreciated your feedback the other day. I've decided not to implement it because there's some other reasons why, but I just want to say thanks for sharing and please keep bringing that kind of thing to me because it really gives me a different perspective. Mistake number five. This is one of the biggest ones, lack of appreciation. I just said it before. You're already your biggest slave driver, right? I just know that to be true because that's just a common mindset of business owners and leaders. We are self-driven and often very critical of ourselves. We push and push and push for perfection. It's easy to not show ourselves appreciation, and it's easy to expect that other people also are just as driven. They don't need the appreciation as much, but that isn't the case with employees. And lack of appreciation is the silent killer. Employees don't usually leave because of money. They leave because of culture. They leave because they don't feel seen, valued, or respected. Just like in the last segment where I talked about listening to them and opening up that dialogue, this kind of piggybacks that. It's about showing that appreciation, even if you don't take their idea, thanking them for sharing it. Appreciation doesn't have to mean big bonuses or grand gestures. It's honestly, it's in the little things. Paying someone for a full day when they had to leave early for a family emergency. On occasion, don't make it a habit, right? Taking the team out to lunch with purpose. Celebrate a win or a positive customer review, a milestone. Here's the catch. Make it random. Appreciation tied to purpose builds culture. What I mean by that is, don't every Friday do an appreciation dinner, okay? Or an appreciation lunch, rather. That's great, but it then just becomes one of those other things that's expected. And when you stop doing it, now people feel like you took something away. Instead, when you show appreciation out of the blue, or hey guys, this isn't something we normally do, but today I want to treat you all to Starbucks because you've really been working hard. I saw what happened when we had this really stressful situation and you all handled it like champs. And I just want to say thank you. Those types of things are the ones that really, really go the distance. If you want loyalty, show appreciation with intention. It makes more of a difference than you might realize. Here's the bottom line. Respect doesn't come from hoping your employees just get it or that they'll just respect you because you simply have the title of owner. It comes from processes, from the way you interview to how you onboard to how you hold people accountable, communicate, and show appreciation. Every step is a process. Processes create habits. Habits build culture, and culture creates respect. If managing employees is stressing you out, it's probably not the people, it's a lack of processes. So go ahead and book a consultation. Let's get you on my calendar because you didn't go to school to learn people management. That's really okay because you're good at what you do. But that's why having an outside perspective is so valuable. My business partner, Emily, and I, we help business owners like you streamline your system so you can lead with confidence. You will reduce your turnover and you will build a culture where respect grows naturally and more easily without you having to feel like a constant beating your head against the wall feeling just to get respect from your employees. Don't keep tossing and turning at night worrying about employee drama. Click the link in the description and let's get your processes dialed in so you can get your peace back. Be sure to subscribe to the show and leave a review because I really appreciate your feedback there. It helps me know what episodes you resonate with the most. And also, I really appreciate it if you would take a moment to share this show with somebody else that you feel will benefit from this. Because listen, entrepreneurship can be a lonely road, right? And we really can lean on each other to help spread the word and give each other encouragement. And it's little things like this, like sharing an episode that can make a difference for somebody. Even if you only take away one or two things from each episode, that, my friends, could be a huge turning point in your business. As always, I'm so grateful for you tuning in. Until next time, bye for now.